And I deem it as a very worthy question. But at that time, there was a little time. And at that time, I promised that it will take 45 minutes to say something about it. So I'm fulfilling my promise. This a first step of spiritual formation. Yeah. And I have also mentioned God can use many different ways to help us with our spiritual growth. Each one of us will has a path towards spirituality. We are not cut from a cookie mold. And God does not intend to cut us from his little cookie mold either. He wants us to have freedom that we can follow his path willingly and also with spirit. So, because we all have lived in at our own time and space, and have different passages of life, we came from very different backgrounds. We have our own spiritual heritage, or without it. My wife and I came from Hong Kong, studying in Red Deer, starting at the same time. We came to be Christian in the same church, same fellowship. Then we moved to the same university together and attend the same church again. But Miranda and I have a very different path of spiritual growth. When I first became a Christian, I can only understand half of my pastor's preaching. Because my English was so lousy at that time, I came from Hong Kong, and I termed myself I was half blind, half dumb, and half deaf, because I cannot speak English fluently, or even listen fluently. Then I moved to Saskatoon and attend a Chinese Christian church, and it is even worse. They have no pastors. For the 3 years I was there, there were no pastors. So every Sunday, the sermon is what I call the weekly special. So when you go to a restaurant to order dim sum, they have a weekly special for you. But you never know what will come up. They are all good speakers, but the problem is, it's not systematic. And I cannot trace where they come from and where they're going. They are not bad sermons, but there's very little I can remember now. And because I was supposed to be baptized and have served in the previous church or in the previous fellowship, soon I was thrust into teaching Sunday school without asking if I have any training, because nobody has training in that church. As long as you are a Christian and you are willing to serve, and they look, and the deacons will look at you and say, "Aha, this is a guy I can," whatever. I don't want to use the word. Okay. So I was thrust into teaching the Sunday school. It's not children's Sunday school. It was adult Sunday school. And then I joined an evangelistic visitation team, again, without training. The only way to learn to model is to model after my partner and try to adapt. But little did I know, my partner was in the same boat. So I was looking at him, and he was looking at me, and I looked up to him, and he looked up to me. So whenever we have any kind of questions, there was nobody we can ask. There was no pastor. And maybe we were too arrogant. We did have a fellowship, a mentors, fellowship sponsor. But here's the guy, when he said, "Paul taught us this, and then all of us down there was chatting. Paul didn't say it. This is the kind of environment I was in. The only thing I can do is, whenever we have questions, and I'll turn my head to other brothers and sisters, And they will tell me, the answer is coming. Next week, we have a mail order newspaper coming in. You can order all the books you want, and you will find the answer. So I'm not the only one. There was a whole generation of Christians like me. And this is one of many ways spiritual growth happens. But Miranda has a completely different story to tell. She became a Christian a year later and moved to Saskatoon soon. At that time, she asked to be baptized. So there was a baptism class offered to her. She has a formal training to be baptized. And then after baptism, they have a follow-up class for her. And they assign a sister mentor to her. So she got all the formal training. A year later, she transferred and went to Winnipeg, which is a good church and a very complete church. They have two pastors. They have all the good teachers there. And she began to attend Sunday school. And also, she was also handpicked by her pastor to join a one-year discipleship training program. Her pastor personally led her and a selected few for the discipleship training. She is the kind specifically nurtured spiritually for growth. She was not the only one. There was a generation of Christians like her. I don't know where you are at. Probably somewhere in between. So what about LGC? Where are you going to be discipled? How are you going to grow spiritually? Today's scripture can give us a pointer towards spiritual formation. And there were 7 I am clause in John. Oops. Let me see. There's a name in the drive. Yeah. And there are 7 I am clause in John. Whenever Jesus said, I am, so anybody remember some of the I am clauses in the Gospel of John? You got to know one. I am the way, the truth, and life, right? Okay, and what else? It is not 3, it is only 1. I am the gate. I'm a good shepherd, right? And then, and also, after Jesus said this, a lot of people left him. What's that? I'm the bread of life. Did we got it? So what else? I am the vine, the true vine, what we read today. And this is the last I am. And he also said, I'm the resurrection and life. Now here we find the last I am clause in Gospel of John in chapter 15. Now, what I'm going to do today, I'm not going to do some precise interpretation or precise exegesis. And this is the 7 I am clauses. And I'm not going to do some precise interpretation because when we talk about spirituality, there's a lot of experience and feeling in it. And we are not to understand it, but to feel and experience the text. The I am clause in chapter 15 will let us know who Jesus is, then we may also know who we are. Jesus is true vine, and we are the branches. So, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And you are the branches. The last teaching before Jesus was to be crucified, Jesus wanted us to know how to build a close relationship with God. This parable has three characters. The first is the vine, the second is the branches, and the third is the gardener. Once we realize the relationship among the three, it is relatively easy to understand the text. Branches abide in the vine. There will be signs of life. So in this passage, it talks about the signs of life. What is the signs of life? Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is a sign of life. It is a sign that we are abide with the vine, in the vine. There will be what is said in verse 5, and this abide in me actually first occur in chapter 14, verse 20, and extended to chapter 15. So when in chapter 14, when it talks about abide in me, it actually talks about abide in the Holy Spirit. This is the chapter that introduced the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes and abide with me. And in chapter 15, it talks about abide in Jesus. Abide in the vine means abide in Christ. Christ abide in me. Just in looking at this, we may find it confusing. The next picture will make it simple, putting together the verses together at the same place. So the Holy Spirit abides in Christian. That's chapter 14. And Christian abides in Jesus. And then is Jesus abides in Christians. The Holy Spirit will come to us with a significant effect. So as we move on and we look further to John 16, 7 to 9, it talks about what does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit will convict the world. The world means all the people in the world. All the people in the world that concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. If the Holy Spirit abides me, I will convict myself concerning sin, acknowledging I myself is a sinner. Now please pay attention to the fact that it is the people of the world which will convict himself of sin. Convict of sin is not to convict of other people's sin, but my own. A Christian should be sensitive to skin when the Holy Spirit comes. It means sensitive to his or her own sin. We do not need to be sensitive to other people's skin. Anybody can do that. We don't need the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. People without Holy Spirit could be even more sensitive with every other person's sin. Hey, I look at you. And then I know you have sin, right? The problem is whether I can see myself sinning. The Holy Spirit comes is to make me sensitive to my own sin. Concerning righteousness, because we acknowledge I am not as righteous as I think I am, with Jesus Christ as the example, I finally realize I am too far away from true righteousness. Just like Isaiah stated, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. At the beginning of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah received calling from God. But as Isaiah received calling from God, what was his first response? I'm an unclean person with an unclean lips. So God sent his angels to clean his lip, to cleanse his lips. Isaiah truly knows he is a sinner living among the sinners. And he is drinking full of all the sins he can absorb around him. Our righteous and whatever righteous we think we have is only like filthy rags. The Holy Spirit helps us not only acknowledge our own sin, he will let us know how far away we are from God. A lot of time I believe I'm at the righteous side. I can point my finger at the unrighteous. I said to myself, I may be a sinner, but I am more righteous than you are. But when we look up upon the cross, He, Lord Jesus Christ, when we are yet sinners, He died on the cross for our sins. This is what righteousness is all about. The righteousness of God is more righteous than our own righteousness. Concerning judgment, for the judgment of God is imminent. It is not that we can convict people. God is coming to convict us. Let us embrace this judgment, for this is what we are looking for. If there is any spiritual growth, the first thing we need to examine, whether we have the significant effect of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians were sensitive to sin when they first became a Christian, taking care of some very obvious sin. This is mostly our own experience. When we first become a Christian, we are very sensitive to our own sin. So we try to take care of all the sins we know and the obvious sin we have sinned. As time goes, we find ourselves I'm okay. Spiritual life is the Holy Spirit in us who will make me meet my own sin head on. We don't stop there. One day we find we are holier than other, our spiritual life might hit a roadblock. For the Holy Spirit will convict us that we are not as good as we think we are. Now, I consider myself a very even-tempered person. You may not need to agree. I just consider myself, okay? Now, what if I can be really even-tempered today? But what about tomorrow? Somehow somebody just pressed my button, okay? There was a book, it's called Who Moved My Cheese. Actually, it's not a type of person. Every one of us have our own cheese, right? When the button is pressed, we'll yell out loud, "Who moved my cheese?" Somebody is so confident with their driving, whoever give you a little bit advice when you drive, I'll go ballistic, okay? Today, I can control. What about tomorrow? What about next month, next year? The Holy Spirit comes. And let us understand how sinful we are, day after day after day. The third character we mentioned is the gardener, our Heavenly Father. In the parable, this gardener prunes the branches so that the branches can bear more fruit. For those who plant, understand pruning is necessary to grow more fruits. In the process of pruning, branches suffer. This is the whole idea of the verse. And this is the gist of this little illustration. Spirituality will lead to difficulties and unpleasant experiences when one seeks spiritual growth. It may not be anything huge. I look at myself, the sinner is never a pleasant feeling. When I find out, hey, actually, I'm not as good as I think I am, I don't think it's a pleasant feeling. To overcome sin is never easy. There may be some people who does not need to go through the pruning process, whom I do not know. And I hope I was one. However, our Heavenly Father chooses differently for most. We need pruning. However, our Heavenly Father, like a person deeply addicted to drug, to kick the addiction is very painful. Pruning is very similar to this. But if the Holy Spirit abides in me, I can bear more fruit. Now we come to the question of fruit. What is fruit? Let us not take too much time to investigate. Chapters 15 and 16 is a cohesive whole. So chapter 15 and 16 actually is a whole discourse. So chapter 15 is not independent from chapter 16. So we look at, and also chapter the second part of chapter 15, there's the 9 to 17 verses, is functioned as a commentary to 15:1-8. What did it say then? Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. This I command you, that you love one another. What is bearing fruit? Bearing fruit is love your brothers, love your sister, love one another. It's as simple as that. It's not anything more. It's something very natural. When we understand we are sinners, we understand we are not as righteous as we think we are, and we focus to follow Jesus. The love of our brother, of our fellow brother, will come. Because there's no sin that covers my eyes, and there's no self-righteousness. It's easier to love people like that. I'm not more righteous than you. Then I can love you. And it's easier for me to love you. And there was a time when I was younger, I was in a fellowship like yours. And so we decided to have a joint fellowship with another fellowship. So we assigned one of my roommates to head up the programming. So he is very good. He was good. He had everything planned out. So we have lunch there. He assigned different people to prepare different food, and then we have a great lunch. And then he has subsequently has a program plan for two fellowships whom we do not know, where we don't know each other very well. The two fellowships we are kind of never met, and so we had a good time. We met each other. We have very good sharing. It's not only superficial sharing. Everybody got a good time. So went home, everybody is happy, and so are we, okay? And my roommate was happy, and that's it, okay? Many months later, so again, we decided to run another time, to run another joint meeting, and naturally, he is the top choice to prepare for the program. He has experience, he did it well, so we decided to have him. And he did the same thing, not exactly the same, but he did all the planning and make it very interesting. But the problem is the turnout. The other side of the joint program, not too many people show up. And for our side, and not as many people show up either. I don't know. I couldn't remember why, or whether it was the weather or it was because it's a long weekend. I just couldn't remember. Or any other reasons. The turnout was so low. At the end, we have a lot of food left in the kitchen, and there's not much sharing, because the other side just sent two. We have 10, they have two, so instead of having two fellowships with 50 and 60 people, we end up with 12 people. But a very lopsided number too. One side 10, the other side 2. So everybody was disappointed, and more so my roommate. And we have a very quiet time when we drove home. Nobody speak a single word. And then my roommate threw a temper tantrum. Well, I said, no. He blamed the other brother who has done the coordination with the other fellowship. It must be his fault. He didn't do his job by connecting the two fellowships. So we end up with a lot of food for the dinner. Yeah, all the foreign students. But it was a very hard to swallow dinner. Nobody wanted to say anything. After dinner, we are about to go to sleep. And my roommate kneeled down as usual and prayed before he went to sleep. After a long prayer, my roommate finally came to his senses. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts him of his sin of pride. So after prayer, he got up and made a phone call and apologized to the brother who did the coordination. So love was restored. There was reconciliation. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit is at work. We can love our brothers again. And this is what's it all about. Spiritual growth is very easy and it is also very difficult. And I assume we are not the branches that will be cut off and thrown into the fire. But we are the branches that will be pruned and bear fruit. Examine ourselves whether we are abide in the Holy Spirit. It is not that difficult. Examine ourselves. Am I abiding in the Holy Spirit? Am I sensitive to my own shortcomings? Am I as righteous as I think I am? And the Holy Spirit will work, and spiritual growth will be ensured. And now I urge you to pray together with me. Lord God, we ask you to ask you to help us to abide in you, and then you will abide in me. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.